I'm all that are in death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. But as soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Thus, death is devouring every living entity at every moment. But the last stroke is called death itself. That death is Krishna. As for future development, all living entities undergo six basic changes. They are born, they grow, they remain for some time. They reproduce, they dwindle, and finally they vanish. Of these changes, the first is deliverance from the womb, and that is Krishna. The first generation is the beginning of all future activity. I hope they translated generation properly here. The seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience, are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and is therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti, and the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary is intelligence, medha, another opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness, dhriti. And when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy, he has the opulence called patience, kshama. Death is a central theme in Bhagavad Gita. Talk about death very much. In Indian society, the people who deal with dead bodies, they are considered the lowest. It's considered inauspicious to talk about death. However, the fact is that we're all dying at every moment. If someone tells us it's my 20th birthday, we can tell them that you are 20 years dead. Every birthday is a death day. Every day is every moment is one kind of death.
Marana
kshanam ayusham kshanam eko pi nalabhyo swarna koti dhi. Even one moment which has passed away, you cannot bring it back. If you bring all the gold in the world, you cannot bring back one moment which was gone. Each moment means, through the passing of every moment, we're dying at every. It's gone, finished, cannot be got back. This discussion is here in Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna and Arjuna are discussing before mass killing of humans was about to take place. Even though death is still, it's shocking. We can become inured to that. Inured means we kind of means getting used to something which isn't very nice. It's like doctors get inured to seeing death. They see death all the time. So most people, if they see someone die, they get very disturbed, and but for a doctor, it's just, you know, write a report, and put a stamp on it, and go home and take his idlis. What is the nature of death? This is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. The whole of human society is a conspiracy. There's a silent conspiracy. Well, conspiracy means silent. There's an unspoken pact that we won't talk about death, think about death. This is discussed in Bhagavad Gita, the nature of death. Of course, different so-called religious processes talk about death. They generally have a very simplistic view, which is useful for people who don't think very much, to say something like, well, if you believe in such and such, you go to heaven, and if you don't, you go to hell. And they make it all very simple. But for anyone who thinks a little bit, it's not very satisfying. Just like as a child, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I was told, well, you have to be not just a Christian, you have to be a Catholic, otherwise you burn in hell forever. And the Protestants said the same thing, only they said you have to be a Protestant, otherwise if you're a Catholic, you burn in hell forever. And as I had there was no intelligent reason offered for why it should be one or the other, I was left wondering that, you know, maybe I should just flip a coin and decide whether to be a Catholic or a Protestant, because there's no other way you could try to understand which one God actually sends to hell and which he doesn't. However, the Bhagavad Gita offers an intelligent approach to understanding this, that one has to be fully pure to be released from this material world and go to the spiritual world. It's not just a matter of getting a rubber stamp, I am a Catholic or something like this. Purification may take, it's not, so purification means freedom from material desires. So that may take place over many lifetimes. And the nature of God is not so cruel that he'll burn you in hell forever if you make a mistake just in one lifetime. So he gives you chance after chance after chance. That means birth after birth after birth. Now, here in this verse, Lord Krishna says, Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. Death is a representation of Krishna. And at death, he takes everything away. I am a sannyasi, and I have my sannyas clothes and a few possessions and this and that, but that will all be finished. At death, the clothes will remain, but the wearer will be gone somewhere else. The name, you can still say the name Bhakti Vikas Swami, that's my name, but it will no longer pertain to a person that you can talk with or interact with. Everything I think is mine or I conceive of as my identity will all be completely finished. There's one reason why people commit suicide, not because of me, but I'll go on to explain why. They have so many problems, they think, death, I'll just finish it all. Finished. Financial problems, family problems, legal problems, and I just can't overcome them. Okay, let's just finish it all off. Well, that's one way to finish off the problems, but the problem with that is that you just finish off the problems in that form, and then you have to go on accepting problems in another existence. And on top of that, you have more problems because you just committed the very sinful activity of committing suicide. So you get more sinful reaction for that also. So death is, for most people, it's a really harrying experience. Well, you can guess what it means from the context. Everything you're attached to, all of a sudden, however much you pray or plead or desire, you're forcibly taken out of that. And then finish, no more. Of course, if one is very attached to a situation, one may be born again in the same situation. Not exactly in the same way, you can't come back exactly as the same body. But there may be many cases of people who they're very attached to their home and their family, and they get born in the same home as a rat or something like that. So overall, for a materialistic person, the prospect of death is something horrible. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dehino swim yatha dehe komaran yoganam jara tatha dehantara prapti hi dhiras tatrana muhyati. The embodied, within the body, we change from boyhood to youth to old age. And then there's death, which is just another change. And a sober person is not bewildered by all of this. So boyhood to youth, that's a change. Youth to old age, that's a change. And old age to death, that's another change. But there is a difference between the change from boyhood to youth and the change from old age to death. All of these changes are irreversible. Despite what advertisements you might see in the newspaper, the old man cannot become a young man again. Of course, there is the case of Chavana Muni, who had a wrinkled old body and was given a young body. So he changed his body without undergoing death. But the general process is that you grow older and you don't get younger. Now, the change from boyhood to youth is gradual, and from youth to old age, it's gradual. You may not notice it even. One day you look in the mirror and see there's some wrinkle on your face you hadn't noticed before, and say, oh, now old age is beginning. You may not notice it, but someone else, if you meet a friend after 2 years, and he may say, I remember once this, I met some, I went to one place I hadn't been to for some time. I said, "Oh, you're getting older, there's wrinkles on your face." I didn't notice, but they noticed. For some people, wrinkles on the face is considered a great disaster, especially in the Western countries. They want to always try and pretend that they're young, even when they're patently not. So I have a suggestion how not to get wrinkles. Don't smile. Don't make any expression on your face ever. But anyway, you'll die, so might as well. That reminds me of something. As one of my teachers at school, that he once made a philosophical statement that the aim of my life is to die with a smile on my face. There's some nonsense so-called Swami who says something. I saw he had some magazine. Some guy from Bangalore, Shabby Ranka, something like that. He said that my aim is to put a smile on everyone's face. I saw some magazine interview with him. You smile, but you have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. Death means rebirth. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu. What's the next line? Dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. For one who has died, birth is certain. For one who is born, death is certain. For one who is died, birth is certain. And in between, there's old age and disease. So what's there to smile about? And what kind of nonsense instruction is this? To instruct people to be happy in a place where there's... Lord Krishna has stated that this material world is dukkhali, a place of misery. It's defiance of Krishna. So death is another change, but it's not a gradual change. Suddenly, from one moment to the next, one is in a totally different situation. From the change from from boyhood to youth and youth to old age, there's a sense of identity. This body is me and I am this person. But at death, that's all finished. Ritu sarva harashchaham. Krishna takes everything away. So dhiras tatra namuhyati. One who is sober, he is not disturbed by this change, by any of these changes. It's not easy. It's not an ordinary thing to be undisturbed in the face of cause for disturbance. Yeah, death is so disturbing that people don't even want to think about it. But it's more intelligent to think about it and try to make some solution to it than just to pretend that there's no problem in death. There are so many universities and colleges all over the world, and all they're teaching is how to get a degree so you can live in this world earning, or the idea is to earn more money than if you didn't have a degree. The outstanding, important factor that we have to die, there's no knowledge, there's no discussion, there's no thought about this overwhelming fact. This fact is so major that we don't want to think about it. It's just like the goats, when they're taken to slaughter, they can see one after another the goats are being taken out to slaughter, and they know it's my turn is coming. There's no escape. So the goats, before they're killed, they say, "I'm about to get killed," so they have an orgy. Orgy means they all start having sex. There's probably no word for it in Tamil. Yavat jivet sukham jivet. This goat's philosophy. As long as you live, enjoy yourself. The human being should be more intelligent and think how to escape from this suffering. Again, we can opt for some simplistic apparent solution. Believe in such and such and you will be saved. Otherwise you go to hell forever. But in Bhagavad Gita we're informed that it's not just a matter of blindly putting your faith in something which you don't really understand, but we have to become free from lust, greed, anger, and all other such impurities. The modern so-called civilization, people think it's very advanced because they have many gizmos. All of this Yeah, just like this. The iPod, people, they can listen to music all the time. But it's just something to divert our attention, just like the goats before they die. It's just something to divert their attention away from the overwhelming fact that we have to die and suffer. We think we're very advanced because we've created so many diversions, so many things to divert the mind, but the fact remains the same. For all your injections and various crores of rupees, one machine in the hospital costs crores of rupees, but still everyone has to. What actually happens? Why don't we ask this question and find the answer? Well, people may say, well, we can't find the answer. Well, because dead people don't speak. That's a stupid answer. Because why should we presume that because it...
They say the letter on your opening.
If you can't find the, if you can't acquire knowledge one way, then try another way. Yes, every 2 seconds. Please turn them off. Otherwise you'll burn in hell forever. Actually, all the advancement in science came because, all these scientific discoveries came because people thought in a different way. They didn't think in a stereotype way. So it's a needless assumption to think that because we can't find out by any material means what happens after death, that there is no means whatsoever. And actually, even by empiric means, there's plenty of evidence for reincarnation. But because the Western culture, for all its so-called science, is a culture of blind faith. There was, first of all, they had blind faith in the church. Then, starting with Copernicus and Galileo, that blind faith in the church got upset when it was apparently shown that the universe is not geocentric, it's heliocentric. It means the Earth's not in the center, the Sun is. It was demonstrable that the church was wrong and science was right. But then just people, they had the habit of blind faith, so they transferred their blind faith from the church to scientists. And in India, that's the case, that people have such faith in science. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, it's stated, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord said, that's just blind faith, we don't accept it. But if they read something, Sri Scientist Uvacha, yes. They don't know how he came up with his opinion, but because he's a scientist, they presume it must be true. And they think it's scientific to believe what the scientists say, but it's not scientific, it's just blind faith. It's just presumed that the scientist is correct. But actually, they have no idea what death is, and they don't even know what life is. So they're not qualified to talk about these things. So we take knowledge from the spiritual scientists. Process of Krishna consciousness is one in which one can experience oneself as Atma, as spirit soul, beyond the body, beyond birth and death. Faith, is it faith? Yes, it's faith. But it's not blind faith. There's so many things we have to believe. Everything is based on faith. Is there anything not based on faith? People say, no, there are so many things which are not based on faith. They're just facts. Just like I can see a telegraph pole over there, that's not a matter of faith. I mean, I can see it and everyone can see it. Well, that's based on the faith that what I perceive is an actual representation of reality. It might not be. Of course, you may say, well, that's a stupid reason. You know, it's obvious. Everyone can see it's a telegraph pole. You want the Tamil for telegraph pole? Telegraph pole. So, but it is based on faith that the substratum is a faith that what I perceive with my consciousness is real, and what we call knowledge is simply an extension of faith that we accept certain things to be true because it appears that there's evidence for that being true. Ultimately, it rests on, just like we may say that, all right, we believe water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen, that's demonstrable, but we have to have We have to have a faith that everything we're perceiving is of the nature of reality. It might just be all a big illusion. This device is mostly black color, right? Well, black actually is not really a color, but anyway, conventionally we can say it's black color. So I see this as black and you see this as black, right? Now how do I know that my experience of blackness and your experience of blackness is the same? What you are seeing might be for me what I see as blue. How about that? So, in this way we can see everything. When I say black, then I have a faith that the experience of blackness that you have is the same experience that I have. Now, there's no way to prove it. Absolutely unprovable. So, faith in life beyond death, that's faith, that's true, but it's reasonable.